Good morning. Thank you, my brother. It's a privilege to be here with y'all this morning. My name is Jotter Santos. It's a little hard to say, and that's fine. I've had difficulty with it my whole life, so it's okay. But yeah, my wife and I have been really looking forward to this. This is the highlight of our week. And it's really great for us, a privilege for us to come and meet our brothers and sisters in Christ in Alabama. We are from Brazil, so it's so nice to see God's family and God's body all over the world, and know that even here in Alabama, we have brothers and sisters that we can rely on, that we can trust in. So it's been really great. Thank you. And we're looking forward to worshiping with y'all and being encouraged in God's word together. Before we start, I have two warnings. One is that my wife is very pregnant. Her due date is Friday, and I've given her a signal. So if I sprint out of the pulpit and just leave and don't say anything, you know what happened. I just want you to know that's a possibility. And the second is that I do switch back and forth in my mind between English and Portuguese, and sometimes I'll just have this awkward pause, and that's me looking for a word because I could only remember it in Portuguese. So the connection isn't very good up here. So if that happens, just go with it and you know, understand what's going on in my mind. If you would please open your Bibles in Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, we'll read verses 45 through 52. Before we read, I just want to tell you a little bit about Mark. Mark is a gospel, probably the first gospel written. It talks about Jesus' ministry on this earth. And before we get to our chapter 6, a few things have happened that are important. Jesus is going around, he's teaching people, he's healing people, his disciples are following him, he's teaching his disciples themselves, and he reaches a point where he gives his disciples power. He instructs them to go on a mini missionary journey, if you will, and to teach the gospel, to proclaim his kingdom, to expel demons, to heal people, and they go off and they do that on this mini missionary journey, and Jesus himself goes on teaching and preaching and announcing his kingdom and healing, and there are numerous crowds following Jesus wherever he goes, because people notice that he has power, that he has authority, and that something different is going on here. So his disciples have just come back to him, they have just met him, he has a huge crowd around him, following him. He teaches them on a hill, and then instead of sending them away so they could get food, he tells his disciples to feed them. And they say, well, we only have a couple loaves of bread and some fish. And he gets that, and he multiplies it, and he feeds 5,000 men. There's probably more with the women and children. So that has just happened when we arrive in our verse 45 of chapter 6. Thus says the word of God. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we have just read your word, God, and we believe and we know that your word is powerful to change our hearts, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to admonish us, Lord. God, we ask you that your Holy Spirit be with us now, that your Holy Spirit be here. Help us, God, to understand your word and to apply it to our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I mean, it's a simple question, but it's a really big question, and it's probably a question that anybody has some type of answer to. You have one answer. If you go out and ask somebody else out in the street, they'll probably have a different answer. Depending on who you ask, people will say different types of things about who Jesus is. Nowadays, I mean, you can get anywhere from Jesus was the Messiah to Jesus was a good teacher. He wasn't necessarily the Messiah, but, you know, he had good teachings and good morals, and we should probably obey and follow a few things that he said and that he's taught, to even, you know, Jesus didn't even exist. I don't believe in Jesus. It was made up. The church made that up just so they could get this gospel across, but he didn't really exist. So you have all types of answers to who Jesus is. Recently, there's a book by Albert Schweitzer, and it's called The Quest for the Historical Jesus. And even in that title, you can tell what he's getting at. And the sort of the intention of the book is to find out who the real Jesus was. Not this Jesus of the Bible guy, but the historical Jesus. And it's really interesting. He'll go through the book, and he goes through miracles, and he tries to explain them using his rationale. And it's interesting because he went through this miracle, Jesus walking on the water, and what he says in his book is, well, you know, actually, Jesus didn't really walk on the water. What happened is it was late, you know, the disciples were tired, they're out in their boat, it's probably foggy, and Jesus came walking to them on the sandbank, and they thought he was walking on water. And he comes up with these things where it's absurd, and just trying to fit Jesus into his own mind. You know, so everybody has a say of who Jesus is and has an opinion. But this text that we read is telling us something about Jesus. And this text is telling us that Jesus is divine. Jesus is divine. And what I mean by that is so many times we focus on Jesus' humanity, that he was a human like you and I, and he can relate to us, and that is true. But we forget as well that Jesus was divine. That he's supernatural, that he is powerful, that he is sovereign. And that's exactly what this text is telling us. And there's two things that I want to point out in this text that we can understand and we can apply to our lives about Jesus. It's because he is divine, we can trust him. And because he is divine, we can love him. Now, this is a text that we're very used to reading. I think most of us have heard this story before of Jesus walking on the water, of Jesus entering the boat, of the seas calming. And so many times we read it because we're used to it, and we miss a few things. And there are three things that really point out to us, that really show us that Jesus is divine and that we can trust him. And I want to just mention those right now, and then we'll go through them and understand them and see what it means. So the three things are, one, Jesus walked on water. I don't know about you, but I can't walk on water. Last time I tried, it didn't work very well. So just the fact that Jesus is walking on water shows us that he is not like us, that he is divine, that he is God. Another thing in verse 48 where it says, now I don't know if you noticed this, but it's very strange. It says, about the fourth hour of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. That's a little strange, and we'll talk about it, what that means. And then even when he gets into the boat with them later on, they're afraid, they think it's a ghost, and he says, take heart, it is I. So these are three things that the text is pointing out to us that Mark is intentionally putting in there to demonstrate and to show us that Jesus is divine and that he's powerful. Okay? So the first thing, like I said, he's walking on water. You know, we can't walk on water. And everything about that just demonstrates and gives us an imagery and gives us, it reminds us that God is in control of the natural. God is in control of the natural. And what you should have in your mind when you read that Jesus is walking on water is that everything obeys him. He has authority. He is sovereign. If you recall, even the creation account, Jesus, the Spirit is hovering over waters. That's sort of what he's getting at here. It's that imagery. It's the natural world being subdued by God. In the same way, when you have Job, if you recall the story of Job, he's lost everything that he has. His friends come to him to console him, and they start this dialogue back and forth. And in Job 9, Job is talking about God. And listen to what he says. He says, God is wise. He's mighty in strength. He overturns mountains in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun. He seals the stars. And he has trampled the waves of the sea. So it's that imagery that we should get when we read that Jesus is walking on water. It's not, we shouldn't just pass by this and say, oh yeah, he's walking on water. No, it's Jesus is walking on water because he's sovereign, because he's powerful, and everything in nature and everything in our natural world obeys him. He has complete power over all these things. That's what we should have. That's what we should have in our mind when we read this, that Jesus is walking on water as he's coming to his disciples. Now that second part in verse 48, it says, and he meant to pass by them. It's interesting because we'll read this text and we'll read that and we'll say, oh yeah, you know, Jesus is walking on water. He meant to pass by his disciples and then this and this happened. And wait a minute. Jesus is walking on water. His disciples are in the boat. They're in a storm. And he means to pass by them? Like, was he just going to wave at them? Oh, hey guys, and good luck, and you know, and keep going. That's not what's going on here. This is really very intentional by Mark. And what he's getting at is Jesus is divine. If you recall God's self-revelation to Moses on Mount Sinai. So Moses says, God, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. And the way that God shows that to Moses on Mount Sinai is he passes by him. He passes by him, and Moses sees his back. And sees as he passes by him, Moses sees his glory. This is exactly the same thing that's going on here. It's the same verb. It's the same wording. It's exactly the same thing that's going on. Jesus is demonstrating his divinity to his disciples. Not only that, but Elijah as well on Mount Horeb. If you recall the story of Elijah, he's running for his life. He goes to Mount Horeb, and he meets, or the Lord speaks to him. And he sees the presence of the Lord. And there as well, if you recall, what happens is the Lord passes before Elijah. He passes before Elijah. And then even if you recall what happens when he passes before Elijah, there's a strong wind that tears mountains. There's an earthquake, and it's followed by fire. So this is what's going on here. When you read that Jesus is walking on water, and he means to pass by his disciples, that's the imagery that we should have in our mind. That Jesus is sovereign. He's powerful. It's this imagery of nature, of him subduing things. Not only that, but him revealing his divinity to his disciples. And then the third thing I mentioned, when he says, they see him, they're terrified in verse 50, and Jesus says, take heart, it is I. That it is I is the same exact wording that God uses in the burning bush with Moses. If you recall that story, so God calls Moses, he calls them to free his people, and Moses says, God, they're not going to believe me. They don't know me. Who am I supposed to say sent me? And God says, tell them I am has sent you. That's exactly what's going on here. It's I am. So if we would read this saying, "Take heart, I am." That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. So he's really, these three things are really pointing to us that Jesus is divine. This is not a God that we look at, and he's not only like us. He is powerful. He has power. He's sovereign. The winds obey him. The waves obey him. He can overturn mountains. He can create earthquakes. He has power. And that's important. And because Jesus is divine, we can trust him. This isn't a God that we come to and who isn't able or isn't powerful enough or is too weak to do what we ask of him. This is a God that we can trust because he is all-powerful, because he has subdued the earth, because all things are under his hand. This is exactly what's going on here. Not only that, but Jesus' power is coupled with his love. Jesus' power is coupled with his love. Because he is powerful, we can trust him, but because he's powerful and he's divine, we can love him. He's not only a God who is far off, who places the stars in place, who knows everything about the world, but who stands at a distance. But Jesus demonstrates as well that he loves his disciples and that he loves those who love him. And this is exactly what's going on here. Notice in verse 50, so it says, "For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid.'" Notice the patience that Jesus has with his disciples. This isn't the first time that they've been in a storm and where Jesus has calmed the storm. This is the second time that happens. Not only that, they've just witnessed him multiplying a bunch of loaves of bread and fish. Not only that, but they've been walking with him every single day. They're probably closer to him than Jesus' own family. And they still don't get it. They still don't understand who Jesus really is. They still don't understand that Jesus is divine. They're terrified. They cry out. They think it's a ghost. We see this reaction from them, and it wouldn't be alarming to see Jesus turn to them and say, "Guys, really? Come on. Like, you've just seen me multiply loaves. I've been performing miracles pretty much every day, healing people in every which way. This is the second time we're in a storm, and you still don't understand? You still don't get it?" But he doesn't do that. It's amazing. He doesn't do that. He comes, he says, "Take heart. I am. Do not be afraid." Not only that, but then he gets into the boat with them. Not only does he say, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. I'm in control." But then he gets into the boat with them. He is with them in the storm, and the wind ceases. So because Jesus is divine, we can trust him. And because Jesus is divine, we can love him. His power is coupled with his love. Now there's a somewhat embarrassing story, but I'll tell it to you because you're my brothers and sisters, and so that's okay. When my father came to RTS in 1995, I was 5 years old, and we moved here with my family. And I remember the first time we went to a Walmart. And it was one of those super centers that I think at that time were a little new. Now they're all super centers. But, you know, for me, a five-year-old from Brazil, I didn't know English yet, going to a Walmart was like entering a whole new universe. And it still is like that a little bit nowadays, but I mean, it was even more that time. It was just huge. I was mesmerized, and everything is in different language, and everyone's speaking a different language, and there's so many people there, and so it was a whole experience, really. And I remember, you know, we bought what we needed to buy, and we were waiting in line. I think I have an older brother. My father was holding him in his arms, And I really needed to go to the bathroom. So I think my parents didn't want to get out of line, or, you know, they were tired. So they just, my mom got down real low to me and said, "All right, pay attention. You go down two lanes, you turn right, and you go straight, and the bathroom is going to be right there. Very simple. Do you understand?" "Yes, I understand." "Okay." So I went down two lanes, I took a right, probably took a left, and then another right, and then I couldn't find the bathroom anymore. I'm lost. I don't know how to read. You know, I can't read in English or Portuguese for that matter. I didn't know how to ask anyone. So I'm like, okay, so now I'm going to go back and find my mom. I couldn't find my mom anymore, so I was completely lost. I started to get desperate and anxious, and I didn't know these people. I didn't know where I was, and I still had to go to the bathroom. I ended up having an accident, and it was very embarrassing for me. Now, people are looking at me. I'm crying. I'm running around the supermarket trying to find my parents, trying to find a bathroom. Well, eventually, I found my parents, and I see them off in the distance. And I remember just coming running to them, and I was crying. Everybody was staring at me. It was very embarrassing. And as I approached my father, I just remember thinking, man, he's going to be so disappointed at me. Because, you know, I'm five already. I shouldn't have wet my pants, and this shouldn't have happened. And he's going to be so disappointed at me. And when I arrived, I remember my dad just picked me up, and he just hugged me, and he just held me. And the whole time I'm thinking, what is he doing? He's going to get himself dirty. You know, my pants are dirty. He's going to get dirty. And oh my goodness. But he just stood there. He didn't say a word. And he just hugged me and he just held me. And at that moment, everything around me, just, I didn't care anymore. All my worries were gone. My father was there. He was holding me and he was protecting me. Guys, this is exactly what Jesus is doing with the disciples. At the moment where they're afraid, they're anxious, there's so many things going on around them, they don't know who to trust, who to cry out to, Jesus is coming to them and saying, "Don't worry, I'm here. It's okay." And he gets into the boat with them. It's as if he's putting his arms around them and he's saying, "It's okay. I'm here. Don't worry." And because he's powerful, because he has control, we can trust him and we can love him. Notice, however, the text doesn't end there. Verse 52. Let's start at verse 51. It says, "And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." Remember, we've just said these disciples are closer to Jesus than his own family. They've been with him every single day, and they still don't understand who he is. This is a warning for both you and I. We can be so close, we can know Scripture so well, we can come to church every Sunday, we can do everything right by the book and still not understand who Jesus is. Especially when the situation around us gets tough. When the winds are strong, when the waves are big, when we're in the storm, when things around us are going on that we don't like, that we're afraid of, we forget who Jesus is. We forget that Jesus is divine and that he loves us. Do not forget who Jesus is. Do not forget who Jesus is. Jesus is divine, and you can trust him, and you can love him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us despite our infidelity. Lord, there's so many times that you are so graceful and merciful to us every single day, God. We ask you that you strengthen us, that you help us, God, to remember who you are and to give you due worship. God, that we might put our lives in your hands, understanding, Lord, that you love us, that you protect us, and that you are with us. even at times where we don't understand what is going on or why things are happening the way they're happening. Help us to trust in you, knowing, God, that you have the best for us, that you know what is best for us, and that you love us more than we could ever imagine. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen.